everyone. Welcome. My name is Tuki, and we'll get started here in just a moment. Geshla will be coming in, and when Geshla comes in, we'll all stand, and some of us will make prostrations, but don't feel at all like you need to do that. When we start, we'll be using the gold prayer books to say just a couple of prayers. If you're in a chair, they're actually behind you. And if you're in the pews, they're down at the end of the row, so you can pass them down. If you have anything that might make noise during the session, it'd be great if you could put it on mute. And we'll get started here in just a minute when Geshla comes in. Okay, if you turn to page 183, we'll recite the mantra of Shakyamuni Buddha three times. Teyata Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Teyata Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Teyata Maha Munaye Soha. And then if you turn to page 34, we'll recite the four immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then if you turn the page at the bottom of page 37, the four measurables chanting version, we'll do that in Tibetan. Sam Chan Chenrezig's mantra that we'll do eight times, and Green Tara's mantra that we'll do seven.
Om Tai Chi Tai Chi Re Soha. Om Tai Chi.
are free to go to their classes. And if anyone's here with a child for the first time, please just accompany them out into the lobby.
Good morning. Start with meditation, short meditation. Okay. Maybe first I should say something, okay? I will probably sorry to interrupt your meditation. So if somebody here first time, so you know, Sunday class is hard to, how you say, judge. Hard, you know, there's always there's some new people who comes here. So anyway, so then see, like I feel like I should explain. Oh, a little bit about meditations, probably 5 to 8 minutes. So I'll talk about meditation, so then we'll meditate, okay, together. Now. So, and if you are here first time at the center, you know, maybe I have interest about meditation, or maybe wondering about meditation, what is meditation, you know, how the meditation been done. So then I think it's important to to understand, it's important to understand. So meditation is called gom. It's called gom. Meditation, Tibetan word is called gom. Means to basically to think. Meditation means think. Okay, think. Need to think something, you know. Need to think something in order to do productive meditations. Need to think something, you know, rather than just sit there, you know, think nothing, you know. So that's quite difficult. Oh. Gom means, you know, think. Gom means think. So, sure. They're looking at me. looking at my clothes. So there's a couple of different ways we can think. So I mean, meditation, you know, when we say meditation, it's called gom. So there's analytical meditation. So you are thinking about some specific, how you say, subject. Could be, like, say, in Buddhism, could be, you know, precious human life. And this life is not precious. Precious human life. What is precious human life? How they define precious human life? Why they, you know, consider this human life is precious? So then you read that, you know, then you think about the specific subject, then you brainstorm. That's called analytical meditation. Okay, analytical meditation. Oh. So then review meditations. The second one's called review meditation. So you could sit there a couple of hours quite easily and Is that also dependent on like size of the material that you are reviewing in your mind? If the material is quite big, you could occupy your mind with that materials next, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours. Just go review meditation, you know. That's the way to minimize our thought. We need to think something, you know, quite precisely. That's the way to minimize other thought. That's how it's been done, according to ancient, you know, teachings. That's how it's been done, thinking something. That's called review meditation. You're reviewing some materials in your mind. Then your mind is occupied with that materials, so then there's no space for other thought. There's no space for other thought to occur, to arise. There's no other thought. That's why we stop. Last one is like called concentrations. Someday it's called concentration. So you think one object, just one object, can be flower, can be tree, can be letter, can be anything, can be color, but you think just that. Could be your breath. You're just breathing out, in. You're counting. There's one. Not from the mouth, from the nose. There's two. There's three. You're counting here. No. Or focusing on. It's like concentrating on one single object, or maybe by placing all your attention, all your mind, mental attention, onto one single object. That's called concentration. So what it does, it makes your mind calm and peaceful. Same time, it reduces all the stress. Stress, I think, is caused by thought. What do you think? Stress caused by thinking. Thinking about chocolate. Not able to get chocolate. That's caused stress. Somewhere in Nepal, they're thinking about French fry, not able to get the French fry. Caused stress, no? You are somewhere in Nepal, thinking of French fry, from American version of French fry does not exist at all in Nepal. So there's an area where American version of French fry does not exist, then you are thinking about that all day long. So that creates stress. See, stress caused by thought. Stress caused by thought. So to make either make our thoughts peaceful, calm, you concentrate. That's all, you concentrate. That's the way to make your thoughts calm and peaceful. So then that will reduce the thing. It will reduce all the, you know, stress that related to the mind will reduce. Called concentrations. You can use your own breath in and out, and you can just create a mental image of something, then just stay there. So that's what we'll do for the next 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. We just, you know, concentrate, okay? Three meditation. Analytical meditation, you are welcome to do analytical meditation, you are welcome to do review meditation, you are welcome to do concentration meditation. So then concentration meditation, you pick up some object, or maybe you concentrate on your feeling, your mind, that's very difficult. Now concentrate on your own mind, that's very difficult. But then you can concentrate on your breath, okay? Maybe next 5 to 10 hours. No, just one. Not hours. Minute. So it is good, you know, to do maybe daily basis, you know, to do so meditations, you know, to get benefit, maybe Not saying like 2 hours, 4 hours, you know, like something every day, you know, I think it's good. So, to feel good, you know, so the feeling good doesn't come naturally, you know, feeling good, need to do something in order to feel good, see, you know, to feel, then meditation is good. So, it's important to learn how to make mind still. See, so that will create, that produce calm mind, peaceful mind. So mind needs to be still. You can't make your mind calm and peaceful if the mind has been moving, is thinking, no? So mind needs to be still. It's not going to be still if you tell the mind, now you're going to be still. It's not going to be still. You can say, but it's not going to be still. You need to do something. Just think one object. That's the way to make your mind still. Next 5 minutes, I'm going to think about prayer will. That's all I'm going to think. I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to try to put my all attention here, you know. See, if you can do that, 30 seconds, if you can do that, logically it doesn't make sense why not you can do 60 seconds, doesn't make sense. Then it will gradually, it will improve. See, so then mind become more calm, you know, then peaceful. So then, you know, you become more calm and peaceful, no? So that's the result of doing concentration meditation. The result will be calm mind, peaceful mind, no? Then you concentrate. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all. You concentrate, okay? So then one other thing is important to remember, all of us, including myself, the purpose or the power of meditation is to reduce disturbing thought, okay? Disturbing thought. That's why, most of the time, that's why we are not happy, you know? Disturbing thought. See, when it comes down to health, then we choose healthy food, right? And people, you give advice about healthy food, you know? So, oh, it will be wonderful, it will be a lot of beneficial if you eat kale, you know, even though it doesn't taste good at all, so that will be beneficial for your health, a lot of benefit for your health. See, so when it comes down to health, We have to make choice. So that requires discipline, self-discipline, right? That requires self-discipline. Not like regulation or rule, self-discipline. Doing it voluntarily, deliberately, happily. See, you will make progress. So from eating, making healthy choice from to then, you know, exercise, all of that, you know, all of that, there will be, so we all know, I know, you know, we all know. So same, when it comes down to thought, we need to also make choice, healthy choice. So disturbing thought, these are not good choice. So minute that arise, it disturb you, and disturb your friends, family, relative, close one, all of that. So see, so the power of meditation should be reduce or minimize disturbing thought towards yourself, towards others, people, other culture, other tradition, other belief, other way of life, how they dress, how they look, all of that. So we don't need, that's the last thing we as a human, that's the last thing we need. We don't need doesn't matter if you're a religious person, believer, non-believer, doesn't matter, you know, it equally effect, equally effect, no. See, so, so, it's a challenge every day. I'm not saying easy, no. So there's a way to free ourselves from this disturbing thought. See? No, but it will not going to happen overnight. So that's the truth. It will take time. Slowly, no? Thinking about the downside of disturbing thought, no? Related to your own experience, no? So then thinking about that slowly. You know, you used to get angry very fast. Then slowly, it takes time for you to get angry, you know. So I'll tell you one story. There in the monastery, there's two monks, they are from Tibet. So Tibet, you know, so when, after 1959, a lot of people, they escaped from Tibet. So there's a group of monks, they're able to escape from Tibet. That's how they reestablished Buddhism in India, you know? So there's one of them, you know, I think looks like, he has very light skin. His father is Chinese, I think his father is Chinese. Anyway, he has quite short temper. So there's two senior monks, there's no monks, you know, monks. So we are young monks sitting there. We always notice because there's two monks, one is like, looks like Chinese. He's quite short temper. Another one tease him all the time. His name is like Polo. Polo is his name. Then he say he always tease him, Polo Chinese. So then when you do the prayer together, you sit together, they say, you Chinese, Polo Chinese, something like that. He get, little more, you see, you know, they are sitting together all the time. Unfortunately, they are always sitting together. Right next to each other. Then you can see, you know, because we are new monks, we sit right there. Because each line, there's 100 monks, they sit together. And between this line, there's space where the monks can serve tea. So we always see, you know, little monks. Yeah, we are not meditating, we're just sitting there. If somebody making talking, we always notice that right away. So we see, you know, he's like saying something. And you can see that his face becomes red and red and red, that he's getting kind of angry. So not just that, he don't get any break at all. So when the prayer is finished, then everybody comes out, and still now he's pushing him, like saying something, he's pushing something. Monks get tired of upset. Eventually, no matter what you say, he's not going to be bothered, you know, so he's automatic patient. You know, he practiced patience automatically because saying so much. So, see, that's the one way, you know, so disturbing thought, we all think about that disturbing thought, you know, this is not good. This is not good for our mental health. So, therefore, the power of meditation should be reduced or subdue our disturbing thought. See, so then you are making progress, you know, when you meditate. You used to get so angry very so fast, now it takes time. No, you think about it, no, twice before you get angry, you know. So then slowly, you will be free from your disturbing thought. Then, there's like everlasting vacation. You have no more disturbing thought. Especially when things going wrong, when things not going right, not going the way we think, even especially in that time, if you can think something good, wow, then you'll be fine. See, you'll be fine. No matter what's happening, your mind never gets disturbed. Because all the disturbing thoughts, they are weak or maybe they are gone. No? They took a long holiday. Vacation from you. So see. So this is important. I'm not just, this is not, no, all my friends here, including myself, to remember the power, the purpose of meditation, to subdue our disturbing thought. Subdue. That's the way to go happiness to happiness. That's how to become a happier human being. Oh? You know, this is very important, okay? I just want to share that with you. Yesterday I was in Elon College, you know, there's teaching some meditation with a group of students, you know, every month there. So they asked me to come there, so I go there to teach the students. What is important now? What is important on practical level? What's important? What I told them, you know, last 16 years, I never try to convert anybody to Buddhism at all. I never try. That's not my mission. That's not my goal. So what I told them, you know, in reality, not anybody will become Christian. Impossible. If you somebody try, that's not going to happen. Not everybody will become Buddhist, that's not going to happen. Not everybody will become as a believer, that's not going to happen. Even though among the students, some of them told me they are agnostic. Everybody wants happiness. Everybody is looking for overcome suffering. Not everybody is looking for to become Buddhist, right? No? Not everybody is looking for to become Christian. Not everybody is looking to become as a believer. But everybody is looking for how to become happy. Now, how about that? Keep that in mind and do something for that. Everybody, including pet. No. I don't think I used to have one pet cat, Ninja. I don't think the Ninja ever wanted to become Buddhist. I don't think even Ninja knows I'm Buddhist monk. No, what Ninja probably wants, she wants to be happy. That's what she wants. There's no argument. Or everybody wants to become happy. No argument. How is about based on that? Then do something, no? Or do something. Oh, see. Main obstacles is disturbing thought. That's the main obstacle. Not religion. Main obstacle is disturbing thought. If you learn how to subdue the disturbing thought, doesn't matter you have belief or not belief, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. Doesn't matter. Oh? What is matter? You can be believing something in the same time you have all this disturbing thought. What's the point? There's no point. See, you have very less disturbing thought. You don't believe in anything. That's good, you know. That's not bad. That's good. So anyway, the bottom line here, disturbing thought, you know, that's like making healthy choice when it's come down on mind, same when it's come down on health, making healthy choice, no? What is buying food from whole food, no, for good health, no? Same, so healthy choice, when it's come down on mind, healthy choice, no? So need to think the same. Health and mind is pretty much same, no? Mind is more important than health, no? Because of the mind, so many health problems could be prevented. Because of health, there's no guarantee that you can prevent from disturbing thought. There's no guarantee. Oh. But healthy mind will prevent many, you know, physical problems such as high blood pressure. Many of them, you know, it can be prevented. Oh. So, saying that, now go back to the materials. Okay? I'm reading this book, what is called 7-Point Mind-tending text. So I read. This is second class. One class has already been having the morning.
Toward all beings, contemplate their great kindness.
So this morning in the class, people did contribute. I asked them, no? See, so in Buddhism, no. So this is very, very good things. Contemplating
toward all beings, contemplate their great kindness.
Contemplate toward all beings.
Yeah, toward all beings, contemplate their great.
Will
kindness.
You remember that? Will you remember? Yeah. So that's the kula cutting chavagum. Tibet is much shorter. English is much longer. Oh yeah. So then, see, this is very important. This is really good. This is really good. You know, all, not just you know, American, Tibetan, you know, Buddhist, not just all, you know, all. This is really good. This is really, really good. Kula kadi chavagum. If you can do that. If we can do that, our whole like reflection of our I say, our you know everything is a reflection of our mind. Everything is a reflection of our mind. No, the nature of that mind is empty. The nature of that mind is empty. No, I say, nava means all the appearance. Whether it's good or whatever it is, you know, whether it's like simple, complicated, whatever it is. The reflection of the mind, you know, reflection of the mind is in my hometown, very small village, less complicated. Reflection of the mind of the people there is less complicated. Reflection of the mind of the people in the Western country, development countries, more complicated. Is that true? Yeah, more complicated. Oh, see, this all is not out there by their own side. It's solid, inherent, unchanging. No. That's mistaken. It's like the reflection of our thought. It's a reflection of our mind. Oh, see. So now, how this? Queen Lakadishama comes. If you're able to do that, this kula kati chavagum, your perception will change. When I look at you, I thought, wow, I look at you in this kind of perception.
Contemplate great kindness.
Yeah, I'm contemplating the great kindness of your presence. That's what I'm doing. I'm contemplating the great kindness of your presence, you know, as a human being. Not as a Buddhist, as a Christian, Islam, not that, as a human being. So, in Buddhism, how to do that, you know, there are many, many instructions. Some of the instructions may not be relevant to the people in America. See, Buddhism, we talk about, this is not only life, we talk about life before this. I'm not sure how many people talk about life before this in America. Life after this, you know, something goes on. So this approach is related to those concepts, how to do this. So therefore, this morning, some people contributed. I was wondering, as a Buddhist who believes life before this, not just one, many, many, and life after this, as a Buddhist monk, no, I believe that. I was wondering, the people out there who have very scientific mind, see, and how to practice this without thinking about something before this, without thinking about something after this, how to practice this, and what's the benefit, huh? So if anybody wants to contribute, you are welcome to contribute without pressure. No pressure. Anybody want to say something? No? Maybe you understand what I'm asking? Yeah. If you want to say, you know, so sometimes also, I also miss to listening people too. I've been talking here last 16 years. I think it'll be nice to hear something from you.
Hi.
How to contemplate the great kindness of others.
Great kindness of others, no?
Right, without necessarily having to believe in reincarnation.
Without thinking about many before this, something after this, without thinking about that concept, how to do this practice.
Yes, well, I think there's a benefit to it either way. And knowing that, you know, whether I'm not sure whether I believe in, you know, reincarnation specifically. I wasn't raised with it.
Raised
in a culture where I was told that was it from childhood. So, but regardless of that, you know, when I apply these principles to my life and when I try to treat other people with kindness and just appreciate their presence and keep that as like a main motivating factor, my life is certainly more enjoyable. It helps me because I start to become angry at people a lot. And that really is something that really is a big detriment to my life. And so when I try purposely not to think like that and to think about the other side of it and be compassionate and empathetic, it's a benefit whether I believe in reincarnation or not. It's still a benefit to me. It still helps me to live a more calm, peaceful life, you know, with less worry and hatred. So it's still, I think it's a benefit either way.
Yeah, very good. Anybody want to contribute? You're welcome to say, yeah.
Geshe-la?
Yeah.
Coming from the Western world, that if I'm not being raised learning about rebirth, we might think about it a different way. Like, I look at that, contemplate the great kindness of others, and I think, wonderful. What does that have to do with lives before or after? To you, it's the opposite. You think it has very much to do, but for those of us that were not grown up that way, perhaps we don't even think of that. It's just natural to think, kindness of other people. We don't really need to know about past or future lives or care about it to appreciate it. I don't know if anyone else feels that way.
I think maybe that's the easiest way to do. So the Buddhist approach is quite complicated, thinking about life before this, life after this. Maybe the Western approach is much easier. So maybe need to change. So now see, though, like to get, how you say, to become real, feel real, you know, like, how you say, we talk about interconnected, that people talk interconnected. Yeah, it is true, it's everything interconnected. And then like, it's not just understanding, it's like experiential understanding. It's not just understanding, experiential understanding. When you talk about that, it means something rather than just word, you know, fancy word, couple of fancy word here, there, you know. When you talk about that, it means something. When you say something about that, it really means something. That's called experiential understanding of interconnections. So that requires, I think, like, some reason, you know, some profound reason. So from Buddhist point of view, it's hard just focusing on life that we see now, just focusing on that, it's hard to gain this experiential understanding of interconnection. So that's why, you know, the Buddhist goes probably more complicated way.
I might be friends versus before in the other life we could have been enemies. Every connection that we have with everyone around us, with parents, we might have had a different relationship with them in a past life, and we will definitely have another relationship with them in the next life. So the idea of being good is just be good with everyone, because you don't know, you know, where your spirit is going to be the next life, And so it's a constant progression to being great, kind, and maybe reaching a certain enlightenment. I've read somewhere at one point that some people meditate and are trying to achieve this greatness because and I was wondering at one point, why do kids die? 2-month-old, 3-month-old babies. It was very disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to make peace with that in my mind was to think that their spirit reached a certain level of enlightenment, of peace, and almost like they didn't need to progress anymore. So I think coming from this perspective, every life that we live versus every life that we live, whether or not we are a human being or an animal or a plant, is great living towards having this goal of being happy and being kind and good to everyone that surrounds us to achieve a certain, I don't know, level, high level spiritually. That could be, I guess, a way. I'm not sure if Buddhism is more aiming its teachings towards this, but I think that might make sense.
Mm. Oh, very good, wonderful. Very good. Yeah, very good comment. So, yeah. One, excuse me, please. Are you enjoying? That is good. Just hearing from me, like, all the time, whatever. It's good to hear from someone else. What do you think? I think it's very good, yeah. So, need to talk, you know, discuss, you know, to think. Oh. Not just me, everybody needs to think, you know, how to practice this. Oh. Then everybody will get benefit, yeah.
I would just say, when I think about contemplating the kindness of others, that in the interconnectedness that you're talking about is, if we think about it, everything in our environment, whether our mind, we put a label with our mind that it's good or bad, everything that sustains us as a person is due to other people's contribution, due to their everything that they've put forth and sacrifice in their suffering too, creates the environment that we are in right now.
Mm.
Regardless of what our mind, how our mind labels it.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Thank you. All. Thank you very much. Was very good. Wonderful. Yeah.
Is it on?
Yeah.
No, it's red.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I've contemplating is that I can see the benefit of bodhicitta and practicing bodhicitta with others and in this lifetime. And I understand that it's important to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all sentient beings. But I think because it's difficult to be able to think about a future that's not in the real right now, that, you know, sometimes for me it's easier to think about this lifetime and how I can practice and put those practices into place now. I almost feel, and I love your thought, almost, I don't want to say selfish, but if I only think about enlightenment, I know that the practices are important for now and later, but it's difficult, I think, for some of us to rationalize, you know, eons, certain, you know, rebirths on that we're going to achieve maybe enlightenment to benefit others. Why not think about how we could do that right now? I don't know if I'm being clear, but it's something
that... Yeah, very clear,
yeah. Okay.
It's not maybe, so we are going to get enlightened. We are all going to get enlightened, only a matter of time. Some of us will get fast, some of us will get, you know...
I was just thinking about the difference between the importance of kindness if you believe in reincarnation and the importance of kindness if you only believe that we have the life that we have right now. I was thinking that if you believe that there's only this life, then there's a push, you know, the kindness is important because this is all you have. This is your only chance to make an impact, you know, positively on the world. Whereas if you believe in reincarnation, it's just as important, but from a different perspective.
Mm.
It's, you know, you need to be kind in order for progression and in order to grow, you know, for the future and in order to move away from your past. So I don't think the two different perspectives, you know, weigh kindness any more or any lighter. I just think it's a different view on why it's important.
It's quite equal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good. I want to hear that too. I want to hear. Yeah, that's good. You know. So yeah, please.
What do you think happens to the spirit once
it's
enlightened?
Oh, so when you say spirit, what is spirit? So when you reach, your spirit to enlightenment.
Yes.
Do you mean like when you reach enlightenment yourself? Right. So your question is like, when we reach enlightenment, what's going to happen?
What happens from that point? Yes.
So then that's like everlasting vacations. forever, like happy forever. Happy for forever. You know, like, that's the best thing, I think. What happens is you are not going to disappear. So see, we are not going to disappear. When we get enlightened, we are not going to disappear. You know? So I heard this, some people, they talk about universal consciousness. See, I'm not quite sure when they say universal consciousness. As a Buddhist monk, I don't believe in universal consciousness. So consciousness is individual. You know? You can say there's collection of consciousness. There's a group of consciousness, but universal consciousness is like one. It's like one, that people talk about one consciousness. So, and some people say when we get enlightened, when you get enlightened, when I get enlightened, and some people, they think, you know, we become one consciousness. So, I don't think that's, from my view, not generally speaking, from my view, that's not correct. So we have different histories, how we get there. You know, we have different struggles, different histories, you know, how we get there. When we get there, so we are all our considered as enlightened being. But then your question is, what's going to happen? Sorry, so I repeated one time.
About what would happen, or what do you...
It will happen something fantastic, something wonderful.
You were mentioning about how when you reach that calmness of mind, there's a continuous vacation, and it's so beautiful. I guess, as a personal question, I was wondering, because I do believe in reincarnation, and I do feel that every life that we get to live is towards a certain enlightenment. Mm. So I was just wondering what your personal opinion might be about. What happens at that point with the spirit?
I think, like, if my understanding of enlightenment is correct, even studying Buddhism last 35 years, could be wrong. I think it's correct, could be wrong, but if my understanding of enlightenment is correct, so then when we get enlightened, you know, so then, yeah, sometimes it's hard. Intellectually, first of all, it's hard to imagine life without any disturbing thought, right? It's hard. Because, you know, it's not like, I never experienced life, you know, it's not like that, you know. I do experience life every day. Because of this, it's hard to imagine life like this, no disturbing thought at all. It's hard to imagine. But, you know, when you reach enlightenment, that's going to happen. Your life, your functioning, your seeing things, your smelling, your eating, but you have no disturbing thought at all. Can you imagine that? That's the enlightenment. Huh? Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Kind of going along with what you say, like, I understand what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying as far as, you know, when you reach enlightenment and you're still alive, you're free from suffering, but you're still living life. But, you know, say with reincarnation, you know, after you die, the spirit jumps into another body or animal or whatever have you. And if you're enlightened, the from my understanding, it's like you're free from some sorrow, so your spirit won't jump into anything else.
No more rebirth, finish.
But at that point, what happens? Once you die, once the human form dies, but you've already been enlightened.
Oh, there will be no death. When you're enlightened, there will be no death, no aging, no birth, nothing.
So, you would stay in a human body forever?
No, that's a good question. Now that question leads to quite complicated. Now it's going to be a little bit complicated. So, when we see, you know, somebody dying, that doesn't mean that person is really, really dead. No, it sounds kind of crazy, isn't it? Huh? See, like as actual dying, and also I say manifesting. Not really happening. Is for us is happening, but in reality it's not really happening. Makes sense? Maybe it's just, no. That's why I say it's getting now. It's going to get a little bit complicated. in front of our eyes, well, that's what's happening. In reality, that's not what's happening. If somebody's enlightened, in front of our eyes, that's what's happening. Oh, it's kind of dying, getting old, it's dying. In the reality, that's not what's happening. It's happening in front of our eye. In the reality, that's not what's happening. Makes sense?
An enlightened person.
Yeah, common perceptions, uncommon perceptions, you know. So see, we are not only human. There's another three realms of human realm. We are not only one human on this planet. There's like another three realms, they are also human too. See? So some of them live, their life is guaranteed, they live 1,000 years. Some of them live 500 years, guaranteed. Some of them live 250 years. And in our world, life is not fixed, no? It's like varies. So see, and some people, they can communicate, no? So some people, I say, in like, commonly, we have no communications. Uncommonly, there is some communication with some people. Oh. So see, this now question is like a very good question, but answer will be going to be complicated. So see, in front of our eyes, that's what's happening. In reality, that's not what's happening. That's not happening. So when you reach enlightenment, no birth, no death, no aging, nothing. So now your question is, so if you become a human, like human form, so you manifest tree, you manifest animal, you manifest bridge, you manifest mountain, you manifest all kinds of things. So there's nothing that blocks. See. Am I confusing you? Oh yeah. So anyway, so kuna kadisha wa gomso. So then that this morning somebody say thinking about, you know, not what she says, you know, kind of is equal. It's equal approach, you know, not thinking about previous life, next life, just thinking about everything we enjoy, you know, food, house, electricity, the road, fruit, clothes, everything, you know, coming from where? All the food. We don't grow our food. We just buy from supermarket. And somebody's growing them somewhere, hub around the world. See, and then when it, maybe that's practical way of thinking, kindness of others, others' contributions that we are enjoying, you know, this life. So that's why the one way to think about interconnection. So, so now it's hard, right? It's hard, huh? In the word, it's simple. In the practical level, it's hard. No? Maybe you are already enlightened. I think it's hard.
Well, the way I see it is...
But practicing this, how is it, as kindness? Yeah, you say it's practical, it's easy?
Not easy.
Well, that's very good news. Well,
it's not easy, it's just simple.
Simple, that's different, sorry.
Yeah. If to contemplate the kindness of other beings, if what they say that all life is suffering, when other beings are kind, that is an act of an enlightenment. Of enlightenment. So if something is taking the time to practice kindness, like to take time out of their day to provide food for others, things you're talking about, very simple. If we're suffering from disturbing thought, you know, if we can stop and observe that others are being kind to us in their suffering, it's very simple. It stops the suffering. You know, we get these moments of enlightenment where it's like vacation, you know, I'm laughing with friends. And these increase as we decrease our disturbing thought, which is ego. Once the ego is gone, the reality is there. The law of thermodynamics talks about no matter can be destroyed or created. So reincarnation, not reincarnation, it's just loss of self. So if we have that loss of ego and see life for what it really is presently, we reach enlightenment. But to experience it without the ego is very hard. Very simple, but very hard.
Experiencing enlightenment without ego is hard.
Yeah, because ego is there for us to survive. It's the animal.
Yeah.
But for us to, since we are a product of the universe, we are capable of being above that animal ego. I'm worried about what I'm not going to get, what I'm going to lose. These very...
So in America, that when people say ego, that means something negative?
Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of people really enjoy their egos.
Including me. Yeah, including Tibetan too, yeah.
It can be very painful. Ego.
It's different than self-cherishing mind? Ego is different than self-cherishing mind? Self-cherishing or self-grasping? No, self-cherishing.
I think it's the same thing.
Same. Mm.
Yeah. The Buddhist language, you know, I look at it, but I don't get all the English, you know, stuff, so I don't know.
Selfishness.
When
people say selfish, this is good or bad?
Bad.
Bad?
Well, it's Tao. It's Tao. It's not good or bad. It's just one way is going to give you this feeling, and the other way is going to give you this feeling, you know?
Yeah, no selfish, no enlightenment, right?
Lack of disturbing thought, not thinking about myself, what I'm not going to get, what I'm going to lose. You know, people dying, all this kind of horror stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That's all illusion.
Maybe it's selfish.
Illusion. That's the illusion. Because on the energetic level, nothing is created or destroyed.
Selfish, you know, could be, you know, there's many, many different kind of selfish, you know. Without selfish, there will be no enlightenment.
Very simple.
Yeah. So now see, like, this is very good. This is very good message. So that will benefit regardless of all the people, everybody. So this has a mindset is quite important to actualize. You don't have to believe in anything. You know, just actualize that it will benefit, tremendously benefit you, it will benefit others. So now question is, you know, see, there's 4 minutes left. I'll just say one thing, then I'll stop, okay? Shantideva, the Indian master, you know, wrote a book in the 8th century, wrote a book in the 8th century called Guide to Bodhisattva Way of Life. Sometimes I say so fast people couldn't understand. Guide to Bodhisattva Way of Life, this book. In that book, Dungal, same here, Dungal means, you know, suffering, okay? In Buddhism, suffering does not mean pain. That clearly needs to be understood. Suffering is much more profound than pain. Suffering does not mean pain. No, it's much deeper, much deeper. You have a mind, to, how you say, eliminate suffering. That's what I'm trying to say. Dunga thode same yeja, dunga nila ngomba juice. Then you go for suffering. Need to think a little bit to know what he's trying to say, no? What he's trying to say. So I can relate to that, no? See, I myself have wish, not just, no, every day I myself have wish to be happy, no? But if I think, I say carefully, if I examine my day, my moment, if I examine them very carefully, you know, I don't probably, you interact with more people because you go to school, you go to job, you know, I most of the time stay home. There's not much being in my house. And there's no number of being in my backyard, birds, squirrels, they don't talk. So I feed them, you know, that's quite easy, you know. So the Gishe Sangpo, you know, he's from somewhere here. So see, Dunga Thode same way, even though you have mind to eliminate suffering, but you go for suffering, what he's trying to say. You know, he's saying something, maybe there's something going wrong during the process. Huh? See, we don't always examine, is it worth to sacrifice? Is it worth to sacrifice my peace of mind, my happiness, just for this? No? See, somebody says, oh, weather's very nice. Oh, it's not that nice, you know, it's kind of cold. You know, so, oh, it's kind of cold. No, it's not that cold, it's kind of windy, not cold. You know, all kind of, always there's some kind of conversation, there's some kind of disagreement, you know, so like that. So see, I myself, you know, if something goes wrong in my house, I usually first thing that I, in my mind is like, it's not me, it's Gisambo. No, it's not me, it's him. See, it's not the second noble truth. Four noble truth, right? Truth of suffering, then origin of suffering. There's something else. The four noble, teaching of the four noble truth says it's something else. It's not him. So for me, second noble truth, that's him. You know? So, see, it's not, then every day is like, this is like, battle with disturbing thought is like everyday battles, no? You will win, but in this night, you can't, longer the break you take, it's not good. No? So everyday challenge, you know? So they think, is it worth it to sacrifice my happiness for this? Sometimes it's not. It's just, this is nothing, you know? So we just sacrifice, no? So, as I said, there's something in thinking, so that could solve by thinking. You know, just take time, relax, sit back, think twice. Is it really worth it to sacrifice our good day by this silly argument, which doesn't lead anywhere? It's just moving things from here to here, there. You know? So, see, letting go, you know, that requires some understanding. Otherwise, letting go doesn't become quite easy, letting go. So this is all big puzzle, you know, so this requires so many understanding, you know, why things happening, why it's happening this way, you know, why I should let it go, why I should try this, you know, is it worth it to sacrifice my happiness for this, you know. So every day, you need to think, that's whatever you call meditations. You know, then slowly, slowly, it will change, slowly, okay. So this is, if you whenever you see people, if you can contemplating great kindness of their presence. That I've been seeing at the center, each one of your presence here is blessing. Whether you believe or not, it is a blessing. You know? So, precious human life. Precious human life. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then, maybe next time, if I'm still alive, so then we'll read next paragraph. So I think the more discussion is very good. So please don't be shy. Don't be shy to talk. You know? So we are all friends. No, we are Dharma friends. No, we are just Dharma friends. It's not like I'm higher than you, you are lower than me. No, not at all. I'm just repeating what I study back in Manasa, that's all. You know, I do have probably more knowledge about Buddhism because I spent 35 years in the monastery. I'm just, you know, repeating here. So don't be shy. So maybe sake of other people, we can talk, discuss. You know, then that's good. Monastery, you debate, right? Do you see some monk debate? We don't just accept what somebody says. We debate. Debate, then trying to improve our understanding through debate, asking question and answer. So then, you know, eventually our understanding getting improved. So that's good. You know? So, yeah. Thank you very much. So, yeah, then I'll stop here. Let me say dedication, please.
Okay, in the gold prayer books, if you turn to page 246, the prayer by Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And if you turn back one page, on 244 we'll do the long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Tenrin, please remain until samsara ends. And then on 245 on the bottom, the prayer for Ken Rinpoche, the one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And now the prayer for Lama Zopa Rinpoche. You who uphold the Sadhu's moral way, who serve the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjinath's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And for Geshe-la's long, happy, healthy life, we'll do seven green Tara mantras. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re So Ha. 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 So I'm going to say a few mantras. You know, if you are in a rush, if you are in a hurry, if you are rushed, then please you can leave. You know, that doesn't matter. So it'll take only 1 minute. So see, like
long time ago, there's no somebody asked me if I can do anything for their children, you know, who is having suicidal thoughts. So it's kind of heartbreaking. There's nothing much I can do. So then I did study some, you know, mantras, you know. So then saying this mantra. So then since then, I've been, you know, saying mantra every Sunday. Sometimes I forget, you know, mantras, to just simply hearing the mantra. So I have faith in this mantra. Hearing the mantra will prevent from untimely, not just suicidal thoughts, it's one kind, you know, untimely death. It says, Timin Chiwa means untimely death. It will prevent, just hearing the mantra will prevent, that's what has been said in teachings, will prevent from untimely death. So then some of the mantras for your health. So you just say, you can just sit, meditate, I will just say, it won't take 1 minute. Oh. So then if you are busy, you are welcome to leave, okay? Thank you. Oh yeah. Have a nice weekend. Mm.